flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, great to be here with you. Having some fun this morning, talking a little baseball. Getting ourselves worked up into a tizzy. You know, that's what you do. You really do that every offseason, but this offseason has just been so special. And pretty much have been living in a tizzy for the last 3 weeks or so.
But you said it. You work yourself into the tizzy.
Sure.
It's you get to choose whether you want to be in a tizzy or not in a tizzy.
I don't get to choose. It chooses me. That's just how I'm wired. I'm a tizzy type person.
And I choose not to be in a tizzy most of the time.
Yeah, it makes me insane sometimes.
I know.
I'll be honest with you.
I know.
He's very logical. Your logical brain is hard to navigate sometimes, but it's the way that it is. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, who's never in a tizzy.
Not in a tizzy.
You should get in tizzies more, honestly.
I know whoever has their name called in an hour will be in a tizzy.
Yeah, because, I would imagine.
Remember, listen at 9 a.m. for us to announce today's biggest fan. Chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game. Register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called. Now, if you register now, it won't be today's name, but you could still have your name called in the future. So it's worth going in and putting your name in there.
Do you ever doom? Even in your... Somebody said earlier, I want Ben to talk like a fan for a segment.
And fan, short for fanatic.
Correct.
Which implies being somewhat irrational about things. It's hard. I tend to stay in my rationality lane.
Andros says, Craig and Braden say he gets in tizzies about SDSU basketball tweets. I've been saying this for years. There was a couple of years ago that I would get on Ben almost daily. And I was like, bro, I can't get you to send one Padres tweet in the middle of a game, but you rip off 74 Aztecs tweets, which I don't understand because I feel like you've been a Padres fan longer than you've been an Aztecs fan. And I think you have more connection to the Padres.
Very true.
So, but what is it? Is it the immediacy? Because baseball, you can get in that mode where you're like, well, who cares? We lost this, and we got tomorrow, right? We got this next year. You know, it's so long. You can't work yourself into a tizzy about every game. It will make you insane. I've done it, and I haven't done it in the last couple of years, and it feels good. But with the Aztecs, Paul, you've seen it with him.
Oh, yeah.
He'll rip off 34 tweets in a night about, you know, Magoon Guath or something else. You're like, where's this passion for the Padres?
It's not even like social media, though, we could go hours, maybe even days, without hearing from Ben. But if we text him, hey, what time do the Aztecs play tonight?
Yo, he's
bang,
on.
Bang. 30 seconds.
He's on.
30 seconds. He's got, hey, yeah, here's who's starting. Here's who I like. Here's what the game's going to look like tonight.
So do you see the distinction, though? Like,
yeah, I've got some thoughts.
You get a tizzy about the Aztecs.
I've got some thoughts. I think what gets me worked up generally is when I see some sort of like injustice that I feel is
so you don't feel there's an injustice going on right now with the San Diego Padres.
I feel
like there's about 100 injustices.
I don't necessarily see an injustice with what's going on with the Padres.
I do.
I see actually kind of a logical progression of just how baseball works and you know where the Padres are. Sometimes with the Aztecs, I do feel like, you know, the conference, the bad refereeing and stuff, that gets me
in a tizzy.
A little more in a tizzy. You know, Mountain West never gets, yeah, they're not getting the respect they should be getting. You know, this is a good team and no one's noticing. So maybe that sometimes gets me a little more fired up. I also feel like the Padres are a little more my profession in terms of talking about the Padres, where the Aztecs,
man.
I just kind of, I don't feel as responsible about the Aztecs necessarily.
You feel like you're more free.
A little bit, yeah.
That's fair. We talk 90% Padres.
Padres, yeah. We'll throw in some Aztecs talk, but I don't necessarily feel like I need to be 100% right all the time about the Aztecs. It's just my side. My side piece.
Interesting.
The Aztecs are his side piece.
That's my side piece.
Old backdoor man over there.
It's just a fun relationship. It doesn't really mean anything. I don't think it's like, you know, we're not heading toward marriage. Just my fun side piece.
Yeah. Okay.
Relationship. My Padres, they're my family. They're my true calling and devotion here every single day.
I know. I get it. And it's not that you're not passionate about them, but you tend to be way more logical about them.
Right.
Right. That was a good analogy, the side piece analogy. I really enjoyed that. Very, very much. Very, very much. Bad boy Ben. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I get it. I have that too. You know, like the Irish and stuff. That's kind of my side piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, college football. Pro football is kind of my side piece too. You know?
I don't have a team that I really pull for strongly in pro football. But
yeah,
me neither. I've let myself just cheer for the Aztecs mostly. Like without repercussion and just like I just want them to do well and win. I mean, I want the Padres to do well, but there's part of me that has to remain somewhat
journalistic
and unbiased. I have to be able to criticize, I have to be able to praise. I can't get too emotional about the Padres and still do my job, I feel like.
I think you can.
Because I can. Yeah. I don't know that I can.
Okay.
Happy World Leprosy Day.
All right, here's a question. Would leprosy be better than this offseason so far? Put up a poll.
Leprosy,
would you rather have leprosy than
really
go
know,
through this?
I don't know that much about leprosy other than it just seemed like the scariest thing. When,
yeah.
You know, they put people,
lepers,
make them live on an island in a leper colony. And
sounds terrible.
Like, they like body parts would fall off.
Yeah.
At least that's, I assume that they figured that out medically at some point.
I would hope so, but I remember being a kid and being, I mean, you got to remember, I grew up in the Baptist church. So I thought I would get leprosy at some point, and I would lose a hand or a finger or something would fall off because of leprosy.
What were you doing that would have caused leprosy?
In the church I grew up in, dancing,
anything,
breathing, you know, cursing. If that was the case, I would have been dead long
Real life
ago.
Footloose.
Yeah, literally, Paulie. The church I grew up in was pretty much like Footloose. Really, like if it was kind of just like that. And you can see why I am now the way that I am. So hey, some people it takes to. And they can do it the rest of their life. Some people go the other way. I went the other way, clearly. So, yeah, it was happy Leprosy Day to you. I'm glad we are not afflicted by it anymore. It's also one of our favorite days of the year, not because we enjoy this particular food. In fact, I don't even like blueberry pancakes, but it is National Blueberry Pancake Day.
You don't like blueberry pancakes.
No, I do not. Why would
you?
I don't
like blueberry peanuts.
I don't. I don't want syrup on my fruit. So,
all right, I will say that if I have the option and like on the menu, I can order regular pancakes or blueberry pancakes. I do always get the regular pancakes.
Yeah,
but if someone made me blueberry pancakes,
I won't
I'd
eat
be more than happy with it.
No,
like,
I won't
eat
them.
It's not like I'd turn them down.
When you guys have a blueberry muffin, do you slather it in syrup?
No, but no. I like blueberry muffins.
Me too.
Butter is good.
Butter's fine.
Don't put syrup on your blueberry pancake.
I mean, it kind of comes with syrup on it, right? Like you put
sometimes
syrup on blueberry
places
pancakes.
Give you the blueberry syrup.
The compote.
That goes with the blueberry like the actual, pancakes.
Yeah. Like if you go to like IHOP. Or
it's blueberry flavor.
I like maple syrup.
But do you eat blueberry pancakes?
Yeah, I love blueberry pancakes.
Do you put syrup on it?
Yeah.
See, I can't do it.
Nowadays, there's red velvet pancakes, there's s'mores
pancakes. At that point, they're blueberry
pancakes.
They're not blueberries. You know what I mean? Like, they're not...
They're just a little...
But they have blueberries
dried
in
dried candy blueberry things that they put
in
them.
Yeah, but it's a totally different food than if you go and grab a thing of blueberries out of the fridge.
Yeah, just like, you can give me a bowl of blueberries, I'll eat them next to my regular pancakes. No problem. But I just don't like the...
Blueberry
mix.
Pie is delicious.
Blueberry pie is delicious. But it's blueberry pancake.
You put whipped cream on your blueberry pie?
I haven't had blueberry pie in a while, but I would. I think I was
never
blueberry. Do you put whipped cream on your blueberries?
Yeah, I would eat blueberries with whipped cream. I'd eat strawberries with whipped cream. What's your point?
I feel like it's the same thing as
syrup
what we're talking
is
about
not
syrup.
The same.
Syrup
than
and
whipped cream.
Cream.
No, it's not even close to the same.
No, yeah,
no.
Syrup.
It's an extra
sweetness.
Add-on to
yeah,
the fruit.
It is, but it's.
I'm not a whipped cream on pancakes guy at all.
I'm not either.
Yeah. Not either.
I'm not either.
A little butter, a little syrup.
But we were off the topic here that is national.
I'm going to order big plates of blueberry pancakes with maple syrup, eggs over easy, and 5 sausages.
5.
Hell of a breakfast.
They had a stressful day. That's fine.
They did.
That looks nice. To drink. A tall glass of orange juice and a black cup of coffee.
Yeah.
After that, I'm going to have a slice of pie.
Maybe she should stop thinking about everything she's going to eat and remember the darn watch and the
remember
kangaroo,
the watch and
the side of the bed, the one thing that he didn't care about anything else other than the watch.
Is there anything more frustrating when you ask maybe your significant other, just whatever you do, don't forget my drink at the store. Just
one thing.
Just one thing. And I do it all the time. I always forget.
I'm much more likely to forget.
I'm pretty bad. But Hannah's really bad at it. But I'm bad at like forgetting the one thing. Like the one thing you asked me to do, I did not do. But that scene in
Blueberry
Pulp Fiction.
Blueberry pancakes.
It kills me every single time. That I watched that movie. So happy National Blueberry Pancake Day to you.
Any time of the day is a good time for pie. Blueberry pie to go with the pancakes.
Yeah, where's my watch? I just wanted my watch. I don't give a rat's ass about what you're going to eat for breakfast. You realize I was just in a pawn shop, and their guy came out of a coffin with a gimp mask on, and he tried to...
That happened after the watch.
It's true. It's true.
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy?
Greatest. It's the greatest scene ever. And it never gets old to me.
God.
Ever. Oh, man. Brilliant.
Were you confused by that movie the first time you watched it with
Very.
Its non-sequenced
Very.
Time?
I was all over the place, man. It took 3 watches before I really, really got into and learned the intricacies of Pulp Fiction.
Quentin Tarantino.
Man, I'm pretty far from okay.
Messed with your mind a little bit in that movie, for sure. Many different ways.
I'm pretty sure I watched it again the first, because I was, I don't know, 4 years old when that movie came out.
God.
So once I was old enough to appreciate it the first time I watched it.
Did you watch it when you were 4?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm saying right. Years later.
Years later.
I'm pretty sure I watched it again, like, within 24 hours. And for the next 15, 20 times that I watch it, you always pick up
something
different.
It's every time.
So well done.
It's every time.
Maybe you have a family heirloom, like a watch, that you would like to bequeath to your one of your children. It's the birthright, you know, and you have to... you have to make that known by filling out a will. And you can do that by going to trustandwill.com. It's actually an easy process. Woods and I both went through it over the holiday break and found out really how simple it is. Just answer a few questions in about 15, 20 minutes. You got documents ready. They'll send them right to you.
Yes.
You don't have to go to an attorney's office. You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars an hour. It's affordable. It's simple. And it's so important to take care of your family's The birthright's
exactly right, man. And establishing a power of attorney, like who makes the decisions if you can't, a will or trust lets you name someone in your trust to make financial or, really important, medical decisions if you are incapacitated. So, look, it took me 49 years to finally come around to this, but 67% of Americans don't even have an estate plan. Don't be part of that statistic. Plan for the unexpected by going to trustandwill.com and use the code San Diego. Just one word. Spell it out all together. San Diego. And you'll get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by, again, visiting trustandwill.com using the code San Diego when you check out.
Alisa, thank you. Yes, it was one of my most incredible transitions ever from that conversation to the Trust and Will spot. We need a contestant for Take on Woods. Chance to qualify for Vegas. Had a great game yesterday. Woodsy pulled it out 5-4. If you want to join us for our musical trivia contest, 833-288-0973. We're back next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk a little Aztecs coming up. They get a game tonight against San Jose State. I got good news.
Your passion.
I have good news for both of you.
What's that?
They moved the game time up.
Oh, did they?
Just 20 minutes.
That's fine. That makes a difference.
20 minutes. 8 o'clock, 7:40.
Now, will there be a game before it that's going to bleed into?
Probably.
It'll probably end up
but
starting
still,
it anyway.
They moved it because of TV.
So they moved it for TV. It's on FS1, and they wanted it earlier.
I mean, they're anticipating that earlier game to maybe end.
I don't know. Technically, the window starts at 7:30, so even if it's like the other game goes over a little bit, they like built that into a 7:40 start, so maybe you'll actually get an on-time start. You know, if it was 8, it was going to be 8:10, 8:15.
Oh, yeah.
So this is probably better for most people involved. If you have to get up for, you know, anything like work or school on a Wednesday morning, I would say the 20 minutes is appreciated for most people.
Big time.
So keep that in mind if you're going to the Aztecs game tonight or flipping it on television 20 minutes earlier than was written on your schedule. For the game tonight against San Jose State. All right, looks like we got a contestant on the line. Let's get to it. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods. Take
on Woods. Take on Woods.
All right, let's see. Is this Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you calling for Take on Woods?
Me?
Yeah, you.
What's going on, man? How'd you know? Okay, let's go.
I just have this sense. I'm really, really good.
It's actually a psychic.
It's called caller IDs. Name comes up. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. We take a guess. You are Eric, indeed.
That's me.
That's you. All right, then get ready for some Take on Woods. If you can beat or tie Woods in our five-question musical trivia challenge, you will qualify for our trip to Las Vegas. The grand prize, two nights at Planet Hollywood and tickets to see the Scorpions. They're returning with their 60 Years of the Scorpions Las Vegas residency show live August 14th through the 24th at PH Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We'll throw in a $100 gas card as well, but it's not an easy game. You're taking on the champion, Woods, and you get to pick our category today. Here are your choices. We have All In, five song titles to begin with the word all. We've got It Starts With Rock and Roll, five song titles that start with the phrase rock and roll. And our new category, Not Those, These. Those are five song titles that all include the word these, and that's an all 2 second song category. So, All In, It Starts With Rock and Roll, or Not Those, These. Eric, what would you like to play?
Let's go with All In.
All In. All right, we had an All In category a week or two ago. We've got another one. Five song titles that begin with the word all. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's the two-second song. Pauly's queuing it up now. You have to give me both the song title and the artist to score that point. And remember, they all start with the word all. Eric, you ready to play?
Let's do it.
Pauly, you're good to go.
I need 1 second.
Pauly needs just 1 second to queue it up. Eric, how's your week going?
It's going pretty good.
All right.
First time in.
All right. Good luck. Remember the category. All in. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music for our two-second song. Good luck, Eric. Let's take on Woods.
Hit it. This ain't no disco.
Sheryl Crow, All I Want to Do Is Have Fun.
All I Want to Do, correct. It's not No Trouble, it's No Treble, in which 2014 debut hit from Meghan Trainor. What was that?
Pass.
What 2008 single by Kid Rock weaves in elements from Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London, Leonard Skinner's Sweet Home Alabama, and Bob Seger's Night Moves? As a solo artist, Eric Carmen is best known for songs Never Gonna Fall in Love Again and which 1975 debut single? Which 2013 number one hit by John Legend is dedicated to his wife Chrissy Teigen?
All My Life.
Incorrect. It's not No Trouble, it's No... We kind of... ran into a little roadblock after the first song. You got All I Want to Do by Sheryl Crow, but Meghan Trainor is All About That Bass, All Summer Long by Kid Rock, All By Myself by Eric Carmen, and All of Me by John Legend. All right, one, hang on the line, Eric. We'll see. Tough category. All right, Woods doesn't get that category. He's got to figure it out on his own. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Eric.
Hit it. This ain't no disco.
Every Day is a Winding Road by Sheryl Crow.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
It's not No Trouble, it's No Treble, in which 2014 debut hit from Meghan Trainor.
Pass.
Which 2008 single by Kid Rock weaves in elements from Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London, Leonard Skinner's Sweet Home Alabama, and Bob Seger's Night Moves?
I know the song. Pass.
As a solo artist, Eric Carmen is best known for songs Never
Hungry
Gonna Fall
Eyes.
Incorrect.
Come
which
on!
2013 number one hit by John Legend is dedicated to wife Chrissy Teigen?
Oh my God.
Your Beautiful Tank.
Incorrect. It's not No Trouble, it's No Treble, in which 2014 debut hit from Meghan Trainor?
I don't know.
Which 2008 single by Kid Rock
weaves
in elements from
Warren's... No idea!
Really?
Well, I know the song, I don't know the name of that stupid turd.
This is incredible.
Down by the River.
That's not right. This is a shutout. Eric, you've won 1-0.
1-0.
The category. Category's all in. All these songs start with the word
all right,
which means
on.
It's not Winding Road.
It's All I Want to Do.
All I Want to Do. Yeah. Meghan Trainor is All About That Bass.
Okay.
All Summer Long by Kid Rock.
Long.
All By Myself by Eric Carmen.
Damn it.
And All of Me by John Legend. Wow, that's a rarity if it's ever happened. Shut up.
Doesn't he say we were drinking different things?
Smoking funny things.
things
rhymes with things in that song.
God,
yeah.
It's just not the
most creative rhyme in history.
We
did some crazy things. I saw you wear some things. Stupid. All right, well,
you went from a perfect five for five.
The last two games, by the way.
To a 1-0 shot. Eric, stay on the line. First time player, first time winner.
Hey,
you are in the drawing for Las Vegas. Congratulations, man. That was unexpected.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right, it was a tougher category, but once you missed the first one, you
just don't even know that it would have helped me. Maybe. It maybe would have helped.
Oh, it was a tough one today. All right, well, I like to mix up the difficulty level from time to time.
Yeah,
We'll take a timeout. All right, we know it's always been the case that the Padres are going to need some of their top prospects to augment the big-time players on their roster. How is that going with Ethan Salas and Leah Dallas DeVries? We got some new top 100 lists out, including Keith Laws. Get to some of that coming up next with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, my friends, it is Woodsy. Do not go through another year with all the high interest debt that you have accrued. Let Loan Pronto wipe it all out. Now, Loan Pronto's rapid equity loan makes it really easy to pay off all your credit cards or tackle that 2025 home improvement project that you've been thinking about. Get cash in your pocket. No appraisals, no paperwork, no waiting. Loan Pronto's AI-driven technology gets you approved and funded in as little as a day. They got low fixed rates, lightning-fast transfers. Do it as well. Consolidate debt, improve your home, take control of your finances. Feels good, man, to get rid of credit card debt. Imagine being credit card debt-free by this time next week. So don't wait. Call Loan Pronto now, 619-207-4336, or go to loanpronto.com. Get your free rate quote now with no hard credit pull at 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com. Get the process started. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
So hopefully he doesn't mind if I share what was going on during the break. But Woodsy just ducked out of the studio after his loss. Did you get Eric's information? He's still on the line.
I still need to grab
that. Get that from Eric. So, Woods is back.
There he is.
So during the break, Woods' phone rang, and I'm assuming it was a number you didn't recognize.
Correct.
And you popped it, as sometimes you tend to do, onto speakerphone.
Yes.
And I was picturing what I have heard you do on numerous occasions. When you get some sort of a telemarketer or scammer,
yeah,
you turn it back on them. You play along, and you know, you waste their time so that they don't waste other people's time by calling them.
Correct.
Something you just, I think, do to amuse yourself from time to time. In this case, though,
took me by surprise.
You caught yourself just before you probably were about to say something mildly inappropriate.
Correct.
And realized that it was not a spam caller, was not a scammer, a marketer. In fact, it was a real phone call of an important nature. And I'm glad you caught yourself before saying something that you or one of our former colleagues might have regretted.
I got a text from many of the longtime tier ones of the program may remember one, Alex Perlin, a.k.a.
Hammer,
who is beloved. And he texted me the other day. We keep in touch. And he said, hey, man, I put you down as a reference. And I said, oh, okay, great. No problem. Yeah, I'm a great guy to use for reference. that was the reference right there. So she had to fire some questions at me about the kind of person that Hammer is and the kind of work ethic that he has, et cetera, et cetera. So I gave it to her. So hopefully he gets the gig. He's great, man. He's great and is looking to get a gig a little bit closer to here, which would be awesome, and maybe make some appearances on Ben and Woods at some point. But he's grinding, man. He's been crushing the last few years. And like I said, stay in touch, a bit of a mentor-mentee relationship. So just gave her the straight dope on the Hammer.
Well, good luck to Hammer.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets the job, and I'm so glad you didn't torpedo his chances with an ill-timed
that was close
comment.
Can you imagine? I would have absolutely buried him. It's like, oh, nice reference. He was just doing like a bit with me. So that was, I'm glad I got that done.
You would have had a lot of explaining to do over there. All right. Well, some new top 100 prospect rankings are out. They've been kind of dripping out since the end of the season. Baseball America.
Weird way to put it.
Yeah, just drip, 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 drip. Keith Law.
Say that, Paul. Thank
Keith you. Law released his yesterday.
Wow.
And I think it's important to talk a little bit about this because the Padres' future rests somewhat heavily.
We can't do this to these kids.
On some of these kids. And we'll get to that coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So as you know, A.J. Preller has done a remarkable job the last few seasons of parlaying his minor league prospects into major league talent.
Correct.
Via just a plethora of trades all over the place. But something has definitely changed in the last year or so. And the Padres used to have sometimes four or five or even six players on the top 100 prospects in baseball list. It's no longer the case. Last year in particular, they dealt away pretty much everybody three on down that had value, before adding some in the draft last year to acquire players like Dylan Cease, Luis Arraez, Jason Adam, Tanner Scott, Everybody who had some value was shipped out, other than the top two remaining prospects in the system. The question is, how are those guys doing, at least in the minds of the people who know minor league prospects the best? Keith Law is one of them, follows the minor leagues very closely. He's always been higher than some of even the other lists on Ethan Salas. And it remains the case, because in some other lists that we've seen, Baseball America being one in particular, Leodalis DeVries has eclipsed Ethan Salas as the top Padres prospect in the top 100 lists. Not on Keith Law's list that he released yesterday. He has Ethan Salas. He had him at number 3 last year to the top 100. So maybe somewhat concerning that he's all the way down to number 17 in his 2025 list that he just released. And that's obviously mostly because didn't have a great season offensively last year at low single A. Now, was he incredibly young? He was one of two 18-year-olds to start at that level in the entire league. Is it to be expected that there's going to be some difficulties adjusting offensively? Of course. Does his defense still project as pretty much top-flight, major league caliber behind the plate? It does. It does. There's still a major upside. That's why he's still a top 20 prospect in all of baseball. But, you know, there are a lot of top 20 prospects in baseball that don't pan out.
Oh, yeah.
Either, Woods.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot riding on this kid. The Padres have invested heavily in him and have held on to him when other teams probably would have offered quite a bit to, you know, wrench him away from the Padres system. A.J. Preller has been unwilling to do some of that. Makes you know how much A.J. thinks of this young kid, the fact that he's kept him when so many teams have asked about him over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a big year for Ethan Salas, I think. I mean, it's weird to say that about a 19-year-old, but I think it is a big year for him. The last line of Keith Law's write-up says, however, at the very least, there's a lot more skepticism about his probability to become a star among other scouts and execs than there was a year ago. And I think that's probably a pretty standard line for a lot of these guys, right? If they found themselves in the top 20 last year, you know, how many, I'd like to know how many in the top 20 are still in the top 20 from last year, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And you really never know with a prospect, but at the very least, Ben, he can be an elite defensive catcher. And, you know, obviously you want the whole package, right? You want the guy that can hit, that can throw guys out, that can frame, that can block, that can call a game, all of those things. It's a lot on the plate of a 19-year-old. I think this is a really big kind of pivotal year for Ethan Salas.
Yeah, I mean, he won't even be 19 until June. That's how young he still is. He's still an 18-year-old. That's why the Padres don't really have him figured into the plans on the major league level. As desperate as they are for catching, if they thought that Ethan Salas was ready,
oh, he'd be.
I would imagine that he'd be seriously considered. He'll be at spring training. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He's gotten the invite to major league camp last year, and he, you know, even got an at bat 2 years ago. I would imagine, you know, they'll give him a look, but I don't think that they're ready to push him to the major league level yet. My prediction: this is, as you said, a pivotal year. If Ethan Salas figures kind of thing click in offensively and he has a decent year at the plate, probably high single A and gets promoted to double A, he'll be a top 5 prospect in baseball again next year. If he struggles at the plate another year, he'll drop further in the top 100 and all of a sudden Padres won't have as valuable of a commodity on their hands. He won't be gone. I mean, he'll still only be 19 at this time next year and still will probably presumably have great defensive skills as a catcher. But his value will go down. The other in Keith Law's list, top 100 Padres prospect, is Leodalis DeVries.
Stud.
Number 31. But we were just in Peoria. You can tell how excited. I mean, they don't like to, you know, it's like picking, you know, your own children. You don't want to pick favorites. But my feeling is that the Padres have really, really started getting excited internally about Leodalis DeVries.
They have a very, very talented middle infielder on their hands. They really, really do, and by all accounts there. And it's funny because I just got a text from a buddy who, this is, you know, this is their business, and he said, look, he's got a chance to stick at shortstop. He's a plus runner. He might end up with 20-plus home run power. Give him a full healthy year. He did get injured on a play last year. But the text that I just got essentially just said, hey, look, Keith Law's great. He knows the depths of every organization. But, quote, might end up with 20 homer power on Leo is woefully light. He's a solid bet to hit 20 as a 19-year-old in high A this year. So that's something that you want to read, not the other way of, there might not be what we all thought. And you'd hate to think that about Ethan Salas after just a year. I mean, he's been a little bit rushed along, but you got to test these guys. You got to see what they're ready for.
As young as Salas is, Leo DeVries was the only 17-year-old playing any like single A or above baseball at all in the minor leagues last year. He turned 18 in October, so this entire year he's just going to be 18, you know, continuing to grow. I mean, he's not even as old as some of the people who will be drafted this year out of high school.
Correct.
That's how young he still is. So, you know, Padres aren't, I would think, looking at him for a couple of years still at the big league level, but they are so excited about Leo Dallas DeVries.
Now, he says in here he barrels the ball, he rarely misses fastballs, he struggled with some other pitch types, which is not to be unexpected for a kid his age, but he doesn't panic with two strikes. He only swung and missed slightly more often in those spots with two strikes. And if you've watched the highlight reels of Leo, I mean, he looks like the real thing. As much as we hate to admit it in this analytic age, there is an eye test, straight up. And when you watch Leo play and you watch his highlights, you go, oh, yeah, he checked. He's got it. He passes the eye test. When you're in the presence of Leo Dallas DeVries, he passes the eye test as well.
So you go down Keith Law's list, and I wasn't surprised, but you don't see any other Padres in the top 100. In fact, I don't even know if there were any others that were even knocking at the door. Now, at this time next year,
you'll have a few.
There's two guys in particular that I'm watching closely this season that could bust their way into the top 100 pretty easily. They're both big starting pitchers, left-handed, Cash Mayfield and Boston Bateman, two of the top draft picks from last year, who have definitely, you know, gotten some of the people internally in Peoria excited about their potential as future major leaguers.
Look, means nothing. But you see Boston Bateman and you go, oh my God.
6'8".
You see it.
240.
You see it. When you see him, you go, yep. Barring some catastrophic injury, you'll be up. Like, you look like he carries himself as a big league pitcher. Today. A week ago. Carries himself around Peoria like, oh yeah, I'm making the jump sooner than anybody thinks. He is a stud, straight up. So I didn't see Cash Mayfield, but I did see Boston Bateman, and he's an impressive specimen.
So neither pitched at all in the minors last year. You know, after being drafted, you know, bring him along slowly. You know, making sure everybody's healthy. This is not uncommon for high school draft. They just did their high school seasons. And they weren't going to be pressed all fall into throwing tons of pitches. So this will truly be their first minor league opportunities this season, which means both guys are likely, about 2 to 3 years away at least, even if they progress fairly rapidly through the minor league system. But those are the two guys in my mind that have the best chance of cracking the top 100 next year. I know, Padres internally are excited about Umberto Cruz as well. He was one of the international signings. He's listed in the top five of Padres prospect rankings on some sites as well. He's an 18-year-old, though. A lot of these guys are really young. There's not much in the way of the upper minor leagues. You know, guys that if you're trying to trade for someone with a contender, that's looking, or you're looking for a team that's got someone you like and they want someone who's going to help them next year, you don't really have that to offer outside of maybe Salas or DeVries.
No,
even those guys might be a couple years away.
And it's tough, man. This is the position that they're in, because of some of the depth that they've traded away, and not just depth, but some of the prospects that they've traded away, Ben. It's not lining up the way that we wanted it to. You know what I'm saying? It's not lining up to where, oh, man, Ethan and Leo are going to hit stride just as Manny and Tatis. I mean, Tatis is still young. Merrill, you know, Merrill is still very, very young. Some of it lines up, but it doesn't. You didn't thread the needle perfectly here. So you're going to have to figure out how to make it work at the big league level, because I don't want to get back into a. KG just said in the chat, I'm excited if we get into prospect development again. Okay, I'm with it, and I realize that you need it, but you also need a big league club that's going to compete, especially how close they
are. Yeah, I think there's a future world in which Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jackson Merrill are in their primes.
Yes.
That Leo Dallas DeVries and Ethan Salas are coming into their own, but are still young, controllable, affordable. And Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts are more on the elder statesman, but still, you know, still producing
yeah.
not at, you know, MVP levels, but enough where you feel like, hey, there's still really solid major leaguers who are really contributing. And if you have those other four guys, I mean, that could be still a really solid core 3 or 4 years down the line that keeps your window open. But for that to happen, you need to hit on Salas and DeVries.
Correct.
And they have to be affordable and producing probably by the year, 2027.
Yeah.
If you want to keep that window and stretch it through the rest of this decade.
Just in time for the lockout.
That's 2027?
Yeah. It's cool.
Postpone their debuts just a little
bit?
Just
a year or so.
I'd like to think that they'll figure it out.
Me too.
There's no evidence that suggests that they will be able to, considering how they've handled these all in the past.
I thought you were going to say there's no evidence to suggest there will be a lockout.
No.
I'm saying
there's plenty of evidence to suggest that they are not going to get things figured out.
Yeah.
But in a little pie in the sky dreaming, you'd like to think that the health of both sides in the game, that they'd like to come up with some sort of solution that does not involve missing baseball games.
That would not be ideal.
Now, fans will, if it's like the last one and spring training starts a week or two late, that's forgivable. That
is it?
It was. Well, it was last time.
But what choice do we have? Of course we have to forgive it because we want baseball.
But if it's, we're shortening the regular season to 80 games, that I don't know that baseball at least survives easily if they get to that point.
Yeah. I agree. But look, it's not probably not where it's probably not the number that AJ Preller wants in the top 100, only having two. But again, these lists are very it's debatable, right? There's a lot of debate going on, and everybody thinks that. I mean, how many of these top 100 are going to make the big leagues in the next 2 years? I don't know. But a lot of teams are pretty set.
Oh, there's guys outside the top 100 who turn into great big leaguers, and plenty of guys inside the top 100 that don't. But there is some importance to the perception that you have a lot of talent. Now, if a bunch of other teams think, hey, I think Keith Law is wrong, I think the Padres have six of the best prospects in baseball and they want to trade for him, great, you're fine. But other teams look at these rankings too and go, I don't know. I mean, if these guys aren't high on them, then maybe I don't want to acquire them. So they're important in the sense that it creates value for your franchise when other people recognize that you have good minor leaguers.
I need to go back and look at where he had guys last year, because some of the guys are not here. They're in other organizations.
Snelling, Lesko. I think they were top 100 guys.
Yep. I did see Drew Thorpe is going to be out for a while. He's got an issue with his throwing arm for the Chicago White Sox. So that's one that we traded for Dylan Cease. So, you never know, man. Prospects are, they're fickle. They're a fickle bunch. But you do need them to hit.
You do.
Yeah.
All right. A little quick update on Padres in the minor leagues and what the future may hold for this organization. All right. Still have an hour to go here this morning. Coming up at the top of the hour, right at 9 o'clock, we will announce another name in our biggest fan contest. So if you've entered at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan, you want to be listening. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll have the next name to qualify for our grand prize drawing. Night in the Odyssey Suite, some Aztecs, and I totally forgot about one other sporting event I watched. I watched way more sports than you did. I watched like five sporting events last night. You did crafts and arts and crafts.
Creative
night.
Yes.